That's great. Well done. May God help us to be strong in Him. Let's take our Bibles, please, this morning, if you have one, and if you'd please turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. The background to the book of Romans is this: the kingdoms of the world were pagan kingdoms. Pagans made laws, and generally those kingdoms were founded upon conquest, blood, oppression. Were Christians to acknowledge the laws of such kingdoms? That was a serious issue. The Roman Empire was the ruling power at this time. The book of Romans was written, and it was pagan. They didn't worship the true and living God. In fact, they oppressed God's people with heavy taxes, laws, and propagated ungodly practices. They also persecuted God's people, seeing their loyalty to Jesus Christ as rebellion against the Roman Empire. I'd like to preach a sermon this morning on what should be our attitude, understanding, and responsibility concerning government. What should be our attitude, understanding, and responsibility concerning government? Romans chapter 13, verse 1, it reads, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we bless you and praise you that in thee we can be strong. We bless you and praise you that we are on your side, the side of victory. And Lord, I pray that you would equip us this morning, that we might indeed walk and serve you in the reality of that victory found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. I ask, O God in heaven, that you'd meet each one at that point of need spiritually, in and through your word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Christians could not freely live according to God's law and openly worship the one and true God without opposition. And this is the setting of the book of Romans. And I'm mindful of our nation that was founded upon Christian values and principles. We are far from living those principles in 2010. How do we respond to government that has no regard for the Bible, has no regard for the God of the Bible? Not uncommon to have somebody involved in government, whether it be local or state or federal, that would openly declare that they are atheists. They have no regard for the things of God, has nothing to do with government. That's not true. That is not true. And many of God's people have bought that lie, that really God has nothing to do with government. Well, I'd like to show you from Scripture this morning that the Bible teaches us God has everything to do with government. In fact, He brought government into existence. Just like He brought marriage into existence, the home into existence, just like He brought the church into existence, God ordained civil government. And as the Christians in the time that the book of Romans was written, we likewise need to have the mind of God in this regard. We need to be careful that we do not give the devil
an opportunity to blaspheme God by our wrong responses to godless leadership in government. Lesson number one is found in verse 1. The first part of that verse reads, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." The great apostle Paul, as he wrote to these believers in Rome, said, first and foremost, we must have a spirit of submission towards those in authority. We must have a spirit of submission towards those in authority. In Ephesians 5:21, the Bible reads, submitting yourselves one to another. We must begin with a spirit of submission. The word subject there in verse 1 means to come under, to obey. It literally means be willing to flex. Be willing to flex. The word denotes that kind of submission which soldiers rendered unto their officers. It implies subordination, a willingness to occupy our proper place, a willingness to yield to those authorities over us. See, many of these believers were struggling with this issue of submitting to authority because this empire, this Roman Empire, was godless. In fact, they were wanting to charge, well, they were charging taxes upon land that belonged to God's people. And many of God's people struggled with that fact. How can these people invade our land given to us by God and want taxes of us when the land doesn't belong to them? It belongs to God's people. So many of God's people within this setting, in the writing of the book of Romans, they struggled with their attitude concerning authority. And the Apostle Paul writes, and he said, first and foremost, we must all have a spirit of submission. A spirit of submission. We must first and foremost have such a spirit as a dominating mindset in our lives. How far should we submit? That was certainly an issue for God's people. But the Apostle Paul deals with that issue by stressing first and foremost that we must have a spirit of submission. We live in a day in which a spirit of rebellion is propagated as the normal. It is so contrary to Bible. And we, as God's people, need to be exemplary examples of what it means to have a submissive spirit. And lesson number two, note there in verse number 1 of Romans 13, that all authority stems back to God. He is the source of all power. He is the source of all authority. The Bible reads in verse 1, "For there is no power, there is no authority but of God." And then note the clarifying statement, "The powers, the authorities that be, that are in place, are ordained of God." So lesson number two, not only should we have a submissive spirit towards those authorities in our lives, but secondly, the Bible teaches us that all authority stems back to God. All delegated authority stems back to God. That is, God is the author of direct and indirect authority. That's what the Bible teaches us. Now, this doesn't mean that all authority structures are biblical and are in harmony with God's word. That's not the point here. The point is that God established delegated authority. Specifically, the context here is God established the principle of civil government. That was God's idea. Just like the church was God's idea, just like The home, the marriage is God's idea. One man with one woman living together, bearing children within the marriage covenant, staying together till death do us part. That's not my idea. That's not your idea. That's God's idea. And I think God knows this. And God is teaching us here in the Bible that all delegated authority is of God. He ordained it. It's God's idea. And God's people had to be reminded of the fact that authority, government, civil government, all delegated authority, in fact, is God's idea. God has ordained delegated authority, what we will call delegated authority, to harmonize with His Word. That's fairly logical, is it not? The home, for example. The authority structure within the home is of God, designated by God, and God tells us how the home should be managed. The workplace. Titus chapter 2 gives us some wonderful principles. In Matthew chapter 16, we have a reference to the authority of the local New Testament church. And here in Romans chapter 13, we have a reference to government, the higher powers. Beginning from local, state to federal, the Bible teaches us God ordained such authority structures. And it is possible for delegated authorities to misapply their given powers. We see this all the time, do we not? We see abuse within homes. That doesn't mean the home is not of God. It doesn't mean that it doesn't work to be married to one person for life and to bear children within that one home. If somebody misapplies that privilege, that authority. We see abuse in the workplace with poor working conditions. We see dictatorship, manipulation within leadership. We see the evils of communism crushing nations, bringing nations to their knees. This is all misapplication of delegated authority. But the principle that God is trying to remind us of this morning, and as He was addressing these believers there in Rome under a government structure that was ungodly and pagan, God was trying to remind the people of God that we must first and foremost have a submissive spirit, and secondly, we must be mindful that God, that all authority stems back to God. He is the source. He is the author. And unless there is a violation of the Word of God, we are to maintain a spirit of submission. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, the Bible teaches us that we ought to obey God rather than man. So the context here in Romans chapter 13 is not misapplied authority, but obedience to government, because God is the author of such authority. And then in verse number 2, it goes on to read, "Whosoever therefore shall resist the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." The third lesson I'd like for us to note this morning from the Bible is that to resist delegated authority is to resist God. Because He ordained such authorities. And God will judge those that oppose delegated authority. In application, within the context of the home, God will judge those that misapply that authority. The workplace, the church, government, God will take care of those individuals. But brethren, for you and I as Bible-believing Christians, it is our responsibility, provided they lead within the context of Bible, it's our responsibility and privilege to exercise a spirit of submission. Because God tells us they are appointed They are ordained. That's what the word ordained there means in verse 2. Ordained of God. That type of authority, that delegated authority is ordained of God. It's God's idea. And we are not to resist. We are not to withstand, but we are to gladly submit. But what do I do if they act contrary to the Bible? Well, that's a good question. God gives us the privilege to appeal, we appeal. This isn't always possible. I'm thankful that we don't live in a communist country. We live in a democratic country, which technically is not Bible either. Don't be fooled. It's closer to the Bible, but it's not Bible. The people say, well, really, at the end of the day, our say means very little. It's God's say that's important. Theocracy is God's way. That's the ideal. But we're not going to get that on this side of eternity. But we will in the 1,000-year reign. Amen. Amen. So if we have the opportunity to appeal, then, well, we need to appeal. And how do we appeal? We'll support those that stand for righteousness. That's obvious. See, we have godless leaders in place because many of us say nothing. And you vote for these godless characters. You vote for these demons and devils. And you think that's okay. You don't think twice about it. And then we complain, oh, they're a little bit unchristian, aren't they? Oh, how dare they try to pass a bill that will give the right to two sodomites to adopt the child. Oh, that's terrible. Yes, it is. But did you vote for such government?
Right.
Yeah. But did you vote for the Christians that take a stand against such things? What do we expect?
Right.
Sometimes I think as Christians, and we often say to our children, put your thinking caps on. Put your thinking caps on. Let's think about it. Brethren, God will judge. If we do not maintain a spirit of submission to those in authority, provided they rule within the boundaries of God's Word, and I'm thankful that we live in Australia where we have the opportunity to appeal and stand up for righteousness. And brethren, we need more of God's people to take a stand for the things of God. Appeal, as long as we can appeal. Otherwise, we'll have to just suffer for righteousness' sake. Or separate, if needs be. In verse number 3, the Bible goes on to teach, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Lesson number 1, God teaches us that we need to have a spirit of submission. Lesson number 2, the Bible teaches us that all authority stems back to God. Lesson number 3, to resist delegated authorities, to resist God, and the Bible teaches us that God will judge. Lesson number 4, this morning, obedience to delegated authority will be honored. Note there at the end of verse number 3, thou shalt have praise of the same. See, if we live within lawful boundaries, these authority structures won't concern us. Because a true outworking of delegated authority is a terror to good works. What that means, it will only alarm those that live contrary to authority. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. In other words, if we are doing right, if we are living right, then it will not alarm us. Authority will not alarm us. But those that are living evil, the word evil here is the word depraved, acting in a depraved way, then there will be some concern. So as we practice submission through obedience to those in authority, the Bible teaches us we shall receive the praise within that area. That demonstration of obedience will be praised. And we as Bible-believing Christians need to practice the principle of submission to those in positions of delegated authority. Because many of these Christians were struggling concerning that fact. Because they said, well, government's ungodly. Why should I submit? Well, as long as government is not working contrary to the Bible, we need to submit. The issue for you and I as Bible-believing Christians is when government is contrary to the Word of God. Then we have a problem. But that is not the issue within this passage of Scripture. First things first. Note then verse number 4, the Bible reads, "For he is the minister of God to thee for good." The Bible calls those involved in government specifically, God calls them the ministers of God. That's why they're called MPs. They are ministers of Parliament. It really should be MG, ministers of God. Or MOG, MOGs, ministers of God. MOG, that's the biblical title for those that are involved in government. They are there to what end? To fulfill their own selfish agenda? No. To thee for good. In other words, those in positions of delegated authority are called ministers of God, and they have a twofold purpose according to verse number 4. They are to serve for your good. They are to practically serve the people. But also it goes on to say in verse number 4, "For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God," once again, "a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." So those in positions of delegated authority, i.e. government, whether it be local, state, or federal, God tells us they are put there by God. God calls them his ministers, and their right calling from God is to serve people. Right. "To thee for good," the Bible teaches us. That's the whole idea of government. Not to manipulate people, not to cause people to live ungodly, but to serve people within the boundaries of the Word of God, because God calls them ministers of God, servants of God. And for those that will not do right, they are to exercise wrath upon them. They are to carry out judgment upon them. So the purpose of delegated authority is to serve God. Serving God by serving people. Watching over people. That's God's plan. That's God's ideal. Anybody involved in government, God tells us they're meant to be ministers of God. And that just implies that they ought to believe in God. To have an atheist prime minister is not God-honoring. In fact, to have any atheist in government is not God-honoring. You know, we have all of these government officials that are boasting they are atheists. You ought to be bold enough to say to the next time, "The Bible teaches you are meant to be the minister of God. How can you be in government and not believe in God? You're out of place, pal." That's what you ought to say. Say it respectfully, say it with a smile, and don't worry, I'll visit you in the hospital, I'll visit you in jail, I'll be there for you. God bless you. Amen. Stand up and say what's right. Amen. The reason why the godless are ruling and reigning in our day, because God's people are just cowards and won't say anything and are just lukewarm. You're just letting the ungodly have their way. I wonder why we have all the problems we have in our day. They're meant to be the ministers of God. God ordained government. Oh, but pastor, what about separation of church and state? Well, brethren, let me tell you, that is in reference to man has the right and privilege of worshipping God as he sees fit. Without any government structure telling them who they can worship. That's what the Roman Catholics used to do. That's what communism does. That's what Islam does. That's what separation of church and state is all about. It is not about you and I speaking up for what's right. Brethren, we need Christian teachers. We need Christian scientists. We need Christian doctors. We need Christian businessmen, but we also need Christian politicians, because the Bible calls a person involved in government the minister of God. Three times. I think God's trying to make a point. Twice in verse 4, and then in verse 6, they are God's ministers. And brethren, we just elect these people. You listen to me? We elect these people. What do you expect? What do you expect when people vote for Greens? Labour. They're godless. Liberal aren't much better. You need to vote for Christians.
Amen.
Your people.
Amen.
Put your thinking caps on, brethren. Oh, Pastor, you shouldn't be mixing religion and politics, you know. Well, listen to me. God does. My Bible tells me God ordained government. And that means it's God's will for God's people to be involved in the running of this country. Amen. Amen, Pastor. That's God's principle. Then the Bible goes on to read, in verse number 5, wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. And what that basically means is that we should obey delegated authority simply because it's right to do so. We do not obey delegated authorities only because we're afraid of being caught. And this was an issue for many of God's people in that day. On the surface, they were obeying, but in their hearts, they were as rebellious as you could be. And God is charging us that we need to have a right spirit and a right attitude towards those in authority. And then he applies this in verses 6 and 7, please. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. What very thing? God's ministers, serving thee for good, taking care of those that do evil, verse 4. So verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear or respect to whom is to be respected, honour to whom honour. The practical application the Apostle Paul brings out within this passage of Scripture is that God's people need to pay their taxes. Yes, their money should be used to the betterment of God's people. That's the purpose of a minister of God. The church of God takes care of the spiritual needs of people. The government takes care of the physical needs of people. Beautifully balanced out. Both ministers of God, both meant to be serving the same God. That's how it ought to be. And no doubt many of these believers were struggling with this issue of paying their taxes. But the Apostle Paul said, listen, you need to pay your taxes. You need to fulfill your responsibilities. See, it was the Romans who were building good roads for people. It wasn't the Christians. And that was their responsibility, to provide and serve people by, quote unquote, building good roads. And the Apostle Paul was simply saying to God's people, listen, provided they're not violating the word of God, then you need to do your part and pay your taxes and stop complaining. And may I say to you, Christian, stop complaining about paying your taxes. Amen. Thank God you live in a country where you can earn some money. Amen. Amen. What would you rather? No taxes, no money at all, or earn a living and pay some taxes? You work it out. Put your thinking caps on. A law-abiding citizen will pay their taxes, pay their bills. Then it goes on to say in verse number 8, owe no man anything. What does that mean, Pastor? Pay your taxes. That's the stricter context. Does it mean I can't have a mortgage and I can't have a car loan? I don't think so. Owe no man anything. The context is pay your taxes. But then it goes on and say this should be the greatest debt that you and I should manage. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Beyond fulfilling our responsibilities to government, we should love. Love is a debt which can never be discharged. We should feel that we owe this to all man. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by your love one for another. And see, some of God's people struggled with this idea of loving people. And many of God's people, especially these Jewish converts, they had rotten attitudes towards government. And I'm afraid that some of God's people do likewise. They have a wrong attitude because it is ungodly in practice. And yes, it is. I admit that. But the principle is ordained of God. So therefore, we need to live by example. And we need to practice that unconditional love that comes with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then in verse number 9, God gives us some examples of how we can demonstrate love towards others, and he mentions some moral standards found within the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. The politician got up and said, these are my five principles. These are my five policies. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. I'm going to vote for them. Aren't you? Well, Pastor, need to think about it. That's garbage. We need to get behind people that believe the Bible and are standing for what's right. Speak up, O Christian. Don't let the ungodly trample the work of God. Stop playing politics and live by Bible principles. And this is what the Apostle Paul was trying to exhort these believers. Stop playing politics and live by Bible principles. Amen. Be submissive. Pay your taxes. Live godly. Amen. It's not complicated. It all begins with a spirit of submission. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Even though we live under the dominion of a government that is ungodly in many areas, my friend, this morning, it is our responsibility to maintain a spirit of submission. It's our responsibility to maintain a right spirit to their purpose and their part. And last but not least, brethren, it's our responsibility to live out the Christ life. And we need to stop living a hidden Christian life. We need to stand up and speak up for Christ. And that all begins with you and I being a witness for Christ. That's the hope of this nation. The hope of this nation is you and I as Bible-believing Christians. Not so much getting involved in politics, that's not what I'm saying. But all of us being involved in soul winning. Yes, we need Christian politicians. But we also need Christian teachers, do we not? We also need Christian health workers, do we not? We also need Christian business people. We need Christians in every area of life, not just Christians in name, but Christians that live by the Bible. And their governing principles are from the Word of God. We need Christians in every area of life, including government. But more importantly, brethren, you and I need to be Christian right where we're at. We need to live like Christians. The only hope of mankind is Jesus Christ. You have that message. And may God help us to deliver that message out of a spirit of submission, out of a heart full of the love of Christ, which is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. What type of a witness are you? Oh, we can get so discouraged with what people believe and what people are trying to do in our day, but let me ask you, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? When was the last time you took a gospel tract and gave it to somebody? When was the last time you told that work colleague, I'm a Christian? I don't think it's right that we have an atheist prime minister. Really? Why not? Because the Bible says they're meant to be the ministers of God. How can she be a minister of God? She doesn't believe in God. We need God's people to speak up, do we not? And I'm pretty confident that you won't get killed in Australia for doing so. In fact, I'm pretty confident you won't get locked up in jail for doing so. But if you do, I'll visit you. What's your problem? Pastor will visit you. I'll organise a care package for you. It'll be all okay. Brethren, we need to stand up for what's right. And all of God's people said, where does it begin? Soul winning. Let's say it together. One more time. Soul winning. One more time. What's soul winning? Telling others about Jesus Christ. How can you expect the unrighteous to live righteous? We can't. That's why we're struggling, are we not? And if you could change from within. May God help us to be better soul winners. Let's stand.